BlakeRadio.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now. Let's get ready to suck it!
War Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what you're for on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Jane has got two words for you.
Count to me, they understand, they talk to me.
You got tools in your
religion. When all these voices talk to me, it's kind of a bad thing, I would suppose. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Raw Post Show live right here, coast to coast, on the World Wide Web, known as the Wild Talk Radio Network. Presented, as always, by PWMania.com and MemLanePromo.com. I am Sir Rockin, joined, as always, by Lindsay Ward.
Good evening.
So, Monday Night Raw tonight was an interesting 3 hours. It did not live up to last week's hype, but we got one hell of a segment during the show.
I would say so, yes.
And usually one hell of a segment really makes up for a lot of things. So we'll get into that, but let's get to the start of the show. And the show opened tonight with the bearded warrior himself, Daniel Bryan.
Some people have always called me the weak link. Well, those people are morons. Because I have fought toe-to-toe with Randy Orton not once, but twice. And their true weak link, when they beat Randy Orton by countout, would have taken that victory and ran. But for me, that is not good enough. I will not be satisfied until I pin Randy Orton or make him tap out in the middle of this ring. Will I do that tonight? Yes! 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 Yes!
I came out here, Daniel, to tell you straight to your face. Shut up and fight.
Whoa, wasting a little time, and here we go. Bryan and Orton unloading on each other.
They shut up, and they fought for a little bit. They brawled around the ringside for a bit. And, well, the match between the two of them, well, thanks to the referee, ended in a no contest as he couldn't get control. He just called for the bell and threw the match out, basically, and left the crowd wanting, let them fight. Let them fight. Let them fight.
This was a fantastic opening segment, and it really put emphasis on the fact that, or I should say emphasis, but heat really on the match, because it's like, they both just want to fight.
They both just want to fight, and that's what you really, really want to see, and when these two fight, it's usually pretty good.
It really, really, really is.
One line that was not in the WWE YouTube recap was, Brian said he's heard it for years. You're a wrestler? Seriously? We thought you were an extra in The Hobbit. And he made it clear he was not an extra in The Hobbit. Just so everyone's clear.
I think we all knew that, but thanks, Brian.
Well, on Thursday during Impact, we found out that Eric Young is not a woman. Tonight, we found out Daniel Bryan was not an extra in The Hobbit.
They're just dashing all my dreams.
These bearded warriors.
I'm telling you.
So yes, this little opener was a nice hot start to the show. We then go backstage to Vicky Guerrero and Brad Maddox. They were talking. Daniel Bryan barged in and vowed to end the fight with Randy Orton tonight. Brad said it won't end tonight because he's already had his chance and they have a full show. So they're actually playing up to last week saying, you know, we have an actual show put together. Bryan then demanded another match against Orton, so he wants to face Brad Maddox. Vicky sort of paused and said, you got your match, and it's against Randy Orton. So Daniel Bryan's all excited. He gets his match one more time with Randy Orton later in the show.
But, well, somebody wasn't too happy about that.
No. Mr. McMahon walked in, put his arm around Vicky Guerrero. McMahon said some people think Bryan is not fit to be a WWE superstar and has psychological issues. Vicky then asked Mr. McMahon what he thinks, and Vince sort of paused and, well, said, you guys figure it out. Kind of seems McMahon thinks that Daniel Bryan is not a WWE superstar.
And why on earth would he think that?
Because he's short.
Boo!
You gotta realize, Vince McMahon does not like short people.
Well, he'd hate me then.
He would hate you then, but then again, he's kept Hornswoggle around for years, so...
Eh. Yeah, but the advantage to Hornswoggle is you can tape him to a skateboard. And you can, like, you know, just push him away. Or push him, you know, down a hallway, as we saw by Triple H.
This is very, very true. So, we get to our official first contest of the evening. Sheamus and Christian takes on Team Road Scholars. Good match.
Very good match.
Cody and Christian had a lot of really good chemistry in this one. Which isn't surprising. There was a little bit of miscommunication towards the end, which allowed Sheamus to hit the pro kick for the victory as Christian and Sheamus pull out the victory. We find out during the match this Friday on SmackDown, currently, it will be a it's going to be Sheamus and Damian Sandow in some sort of fight.
It's a Dublin Street Fight.
Dublin Street Fight, thank you. So we get a Dublin Street Fight on Friday. Miscommunications with Road Scholars. Could this be the beginning of the end again for the team?
Well, since they've never really fully acknowledged that they're back together officially, can you have an end to an unofficial tag team, or do they just go their separate ways?
I'm not quite sure, honestly. But we shall see what happens between the two. But it was a good match.
It was. It was a very good match. Very entertaining. Bravo to everybody involved.
We then have CM Punk backstage texting. Because that's what he does. Or tweeting or whatever it is. Something on his phone. Vicky Guerrero walked up.
He was keeping track of the Blackhawks game.
Which we'll give you the news in a little bit. Vicky Guerrero walked up to him. Asked what... Vicky, if Paul Heyman is there tonight, and, well, how about Brock? And Vicky didn't have an answer to either one, so he went back to texting or tweeting or, you know, getting score updates. Whatever. Vicky told Punk that she booked him in the match tonight, and which Punk sort of, like, no-sold. And then we got a loud excuse me, and then Punk did an excuse me back, and, you know, just told her when either one show up, just let him know.
Pretty much, yeah.
Nice little segment with Punk.
It was. It really was. It was well done.
And then we have our next contest, Caitlyn versus Oksana.
Which was weird and interesting at the same time.
During the match, we have Caitlyn's music hit, and, well, why would Caitlyn's music hit during the match? Well, that's interesting. Well, someone appeared on the stage, allowing Caitlyn to get distracted a little bit, but Caitlyn recovered, hit the spear on Oksana, and picked up the victory. Who was on that stage, you ask? Well, take a listen.
Well, that's happened.
Uh-oh. Hi, everyone! I'm Caitlyn! Not only did I lose my Divas Championship to the great AJ Lee, but I also lost my dignity. Yeah, I was embarrassed. I was humiliated when I actually thought that somebody liked me. I actually thought I had a secret admirer.
Caitlyn's having to relive this all again.
OMG! Biggie, it's you?
Yes, Caitlyn. It was me all along. You are the one.
Oh God, I always dreamed I'd find a man who has a voice as deep as mine. Legs as thick as mine. And let's not get started on the whole Adam's apple situation, but you know what? I know I'm never gonna win my Divas Championship back. So for now, I'm just gonna be the butt of all of AJ's jokes.
Well, that's funny to two people in this entire arena.
I thought that was funny. What about you, Lindsay?
You know, it would help if I took myself off mute.
Yeah, it would.
I'm not going to lie, it was a little awkward at first.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the way that they kind of had her come out. But once she got going, it's like, okay, this is really good. It's really funny. But honestly, I don't understand why they're kind of continuing it, why AJ would bother with Caitlyn other than just because she can.
Because she can.
Because, well, I mean, it's like you sit there and you're like, oh, okay, you know, it is what it is, and they're still screwing with each other, so. But the AJ and Big E overacting, hilarity. Absolute hilarity.
All I thought of, it was me, Austin, it was me all along. Oh, and that cackle from AJ.
Oh, I know. It was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. The whole thing was so well done.
So, the feud must continue because, well, she gets a rematch. So, that's the whole reason why. And she just lives torturing her former best friend.
Apparently.
We had a recap of, you know, the blindsided attack from last week between Mark Henry and John Cena. And then we had our next contest, Alberto Del Rio versus Chris Jericho, with Ricardo trying to play heel as he mocks South Carolina to start with. And, well, yeah. It's, I don't know. It's hard to, Ricardo's trying to be heel, honestly, but I think the only way he can truly be a heel is if he, well, stops doing that intro the way he does it.
Pretty much, yeah. They need to change it up. If they're both going to be heel, they need to change it up with put the music back to the way it was, have him potentially start coming back out in the car. For the love of God, get rid of the bucket and the bow tie.
Right.
You know, basically kind of take him back to where he was when he was originally heel. I know you've got to evolve, and I'm all for that, but you kind of need to harken back a little bit, because they're still technically in, as far as appearance, face, even though in action they're heel, in appearance they're face.
Right.
And basically, I mean, one way to get around it for Ricardo is he's going to do the introduction to Alberto and do the long O, and he gets to it, and he's like, nah, screw it, Alberto Del Rio.
Alright.
And walks down the ramp.
So, we had a pretty good match between the two. You could tell Jericho was really working here as he was really sweating.
Yes, he was.
His hair is all sweating and full sweat and whatever, however you want to put it. The match ended with Jericho countering the cross arm breaker into the walls of Jericho. Ricardo came in, hit him with the bucket. And that caused the disqualification. As that was happening, out came Dolph Ziggler to a huge ovation from the crowd, and he attacked Del Rio with the zigzag. Ricardo ate a code breaker. Then we had a stare down between Jericho and Ziggler, which kind of thought, oh, they're going to shake. No. Jericho pushes him aside, walks away, and then Ziggler hits him with a zigzag. Crowd kind of booed that a little bit. And Ziggler stood tall to close this segment out.
This was a really nice segment. It was very well done. Mm-hmm. And we now have Ziggler cleared.
Yes, we do.
Which is yay. So we will hopefully see the continuation of the feud.
We will, because the match has been signed for Money in the Bank. It will be Dolph Ziggler challenging for the World Heavyweight title against Alberto Del Rio.
Yay!
So, good stuff. We then go backstage to more Vicky Guerrero. And, well, another pseudo-McMahon.
Forget about this for the crowd. I've been thinking about what Mr. McMahon said, and I'm going to cancel it. I think that's the best choice.
Vicky, okay. Brad.
Hello,
hey.
Sir.
What's going on? How are you doing?
That's great.
Listen, I just heard a nasty rumor that I know can't be true. I heard that you were thinking about canceling the Daniel Bryan match tonight.
Well, yes, sir. I believe that's the best decision. I mean, Mr. McMahon was right in some issues. I mean, Daniel Bryan is too small. He does have psychological issues. And he's an embarrassment to the WWE. So canceling the match, I think, is a great idea.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. Some people, I suppose, do think those things. I don't tend to agree with that theory about Daniel Bryan. But honestly, it doesn't matter what anybody back here thinks, really. It matters what the WWE Universe thinks. And Vicky, the WWE Universe wants to see this match. They want to see Daniel Bryan against Randy Orton tonight.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad you agree. It's great, right? See how good this works? And here's the thing is, what I would like, for you to over-deliver, Vicky. I not only want you to have this match, I want you to give the WWE Universe the choice. The choice on what kind of match they're going to have. I want the WWE Universe to be able to pick the stipulation in the match between Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton tonight.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that a great idea?
That's a wonderful idea. That's a great
See
idea.
See how that works? See, I told you, Vicky. You just listen to me, everything's going to be okay.
Yes, sir.
Brad, that's a spectacular shirt.
Thank you.
They make that in men's sizes, too?
Gotta love the little dig at the very end by Hunter.
Well done, Hunter. Well done.
So, Triple H is for the main event, and the main event will happen now with stipulations, which they'll get into a little bit when they actually announce them.
Yes, they will.
Now, speaking of announcing things, it is time for the announcement that we've all been waiting for, the cover of the 2014 edition, 2K14 of WWE Games. Yes, WWE 2K14 And the cover athlete, as revealed by Stephanie McMahon months ago, will be The Rock. So we got that revealed. We had a whole bunch of different things. Talked about, Vicky did announce the stipulation too. It would be Lumberjack match, Falls Count Anywhere, or a street fight that you, the fans, could vote on the WWE app. But she then tallied out her own cover, which had Vince McMahon, Triple H, and Stephanie on it. And then Brad had Punk himself and Cena on it. We then got The Rock on the cover, and that's basically how that segment ended. Now, it should be on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, so if there's a show, go check it out. The trailer has been released, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I have yet to see the trailer, but I hear it's really kind of cool.
Yeah, you need to go and watch this trailer later. It is awesome. It features the likes of Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Dolph Ziggler, Ryback, Shawn Michaels, CM Punk, and the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
No Taker?
Well, he's not in the trailer.
No Fuzzy?
No Fuzzy in the trailer, no. But you have a Randy Savage in the trailer, which is kind of surprising.
Well, maybe that's a sign of things to come.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Now, in the opposite realm of thinking, why the hell did we have Ryback versus Great Khali?
I don't know.
It happened. Ryback won.
It wasn't that good.
I don't think anyone expected it to be good, honestly.
No.
No, not at all. Anyway, we return for break, and John Cena is ready to talk.
Now, over the years, many men have tried to do some crazy and dastardly things to hold on to this because they want the respect that comes with it. But shortcuts do not equal respect. Hell, over the years, men have tried to buy this. Over the years, men have tried to steal this. I have seen people with my own eyes crack under the pressure of the WWE Universe on their quest to chase this. Hell, even Vince McMahon himself felt as if he needed to be WWE champion to justify his existence to all of you. And of course, last week we saw how low a man will sink to chase this. Last week, chasing this, Mark Henry disgraced his family. Mark Henry cheated the WWE Universe. And quite frankly, I thought his speech was an utter disaster to every superstar who has had to stand here and actually have the conversation with you that they can never do this again. Names like Edge. Names like HBK. And names like the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Very, very important moments in WWE history, and last week Mark Henry made a mockery of all of them. But I actually understand why. Mark Henry has been here for 17 years, and he may be the world's strongest man, but maybe he realizes that door is closing. Maybe he realizes time is running out. And he will not have a legacy in the WWE unless he holds on to this. That's where I come in. Because to hold on to this, he's got to go through me. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm John Cena, WWE Champion. And Mark Henry, the best part of your speech last week is when you handed this back to me and you said you had to earn this. The rest of that speech was a load of crap. You have to earn this. And you're going to realize that Money in the Bank, the only thing you earn is the right to let me knock your teeth down your throat. Mark Henry, you are big, bad, strong, and dangerous, and you have proved you will sink to the lowest of lows to try to get this. But there is one thing you forgot to do, son. You forgot to check your calendar, because we still in the middle of whoop-ass season, and in three weeks, you are going to find out what the world already knows. Our time is now, and the champ is here!
Champion John Cena. He's not going to back down from Mark Henry. And he's ready to go in 3 weeks.
That was a nice promo by John Cena.
It really was. It's when he's like, this is the best scenario for John Cena. When he's like this, when he's not trying to be overly goofy, but he's not trying to be uber serious, mm-hmm. where he's got that really dry, quick wit to him.
Right.
And when they let him have that and use that, it plays to his best advantage. It really, truly does.
It does.
And, I mean, you can't say anything wrong. This continued the intensity, not as much as last week, but it was a nice continuation.
Right, you can't live up to last week, but this was a nice follow-up. We then get set for our next contest, the Usos 3MB and Tons of Funk for the number one contendership for the WWE Tag Team titles. But first, we had this person come out for the Superstars for Sandy Relief winner. He was Scotty from Tennessee.
Scotty Campbell, well done! For those of you that don't know, he's a friend of mine on Facebook. I actually got it wrong. I actually know him through libertarian and wrestling stuff, not just wrestling. So he is a friend, and I had realized he won the auction, so when he popped up, I was like, hey, that guy looks really familiar. And then they started talking about how he's a former Tennessee representative. And because I've been off Facebook pretty much all day, I hadn't seen his post about how, oh yeah, by the way, he's at Raw tonight. So, well done to Scotty Campbell. He came out with Tons of Funk. He danced way better than they did. And yes, he's a white guy. Just pointing that out.
In this really quick three-way tag team match, the Usos won.
Which is kind of scary.
Then the Shield came out and just stared at them. That's it.
I got my Shield.
You did. You got your Shield. Even though it was just a little bit of the Shield.
I will take the little bit of the Shield.
I know you will.
I will take whatever I can get.
I know. We come back from break. Paul Heyman walks to the ring. Heyman said he's ignored CM Punk's texts and emails and phone calls for a week and wants to give him the answer face-to-face. Calls out Punk. Punk comes out. Punk goes through a history lesson. He said that in 2005 he signed a WWE contract at the time. The Goof, Senior VP John Laurinaitis, signed him to that contract. So Johnny thought it would be a good idea to put him in Louisville to go through developmental, because, you know, he was making a name for himself back then, so let's put the guy through developmental. Punk said that because Heyman pissed off a lot of people in WWE, Heyman was in charge of developmental at the time. Heyman was set up to fail. He said CM Punk was not supposed to succeed. Even drawing emails and texts from WWE managers telling him to cut him, even one from Vince McMahon. Punk said that Heyman refused to fire him, though. He said he saw something in me and had my back. Punk said that when ECW was resurrected, he was his first draft pick, and the fans chanted for Punk. He said he doesn't want to bore anyone with the dirty laundry between friends, but he has two things to say to Paul Heyman. And this is where we're going to do this, so I don't have to talk any longer, because, you know, they didn't give us the first part, but they gave us, well, basically the rest of this really awesome exchange between one CM Punk and one, if this thing would load, Paul Heyman. Right about now.
I don't mean to bore anybody with this dirty laundry between two friends, but now that I've got that out of the way, there's two things I want to say to you. And me and you are going to come second. The first thing is, I want you to tell Brock Lesnar I'm coming for him. You understand? I don't care that he's bigger than me. I don't care that he's stronger than me. Because he's not better than me. You know what I'm going to say next. I'm the best wrestler on the planet. And you know it better than anybody. And I'm going to say it straight up to your face, because Brock doesn't have the balls to be here today to hear it from me. You know me personally. You know there's no one more sadistic. There's no one more relentless. There's no one more dangerous. So if he's your friend, if he's your client, you let him know, I'm going to do whatever I have to. I will do whatever it takes, and I'm going to bring your beast incarnate down.
Okay.
And now we can finally address the elephant in the room. What happened last week? Now, because of our past, because no matter how many warnings I ever got about you, or how many horror stories I heard about how much money you owed somebody, or how many times you stabbed people in the back, you never did me wrong. So last week, did Brock Lesnar attack me on his own? Or did Brock Lesnar attack me because you saw the writing on the wall after Payback? Because I told you I don't want you ringside anymore. It's just business. Did you sick Brock Lesnar on me? And this is me talking to you, Paul. For the first time in your life, I want you to tell the truth. Because I'm not them. And don't try to lie to me, and don't try to manipulate me like you lie and you manipulate to everybody else. This is me standing here, and I can take it. Tell me it was tough love. Tell me you sent Brock Lesnar after me, and I can accept it. But I just need to know the truth. So for the first time in your life, make me the exception of the rule, and don't lie to me. Look me in the eye. I want you to swear on your children that you don't have anything to do with it, or you tell me you did. Either way, come clean right here, right now. And for the first time in your life, Paul Heyman, you tell the truth.
I never wanted it to be this way between us. And since you demand the truth, and because you would be able to see through me, and because as my best friend, and until something happens, you are my best friend, you deserve the truth. I will tell you the truth straight to your face. On my children, I did not know that Brock Lesnar would be here last week. It's a fact. Brock Lesnar fulfilled his contractual obligations to WWE at Extreme Rules. It's a fact. I did not know Brock Lesnar would be here last week. And here's another fact. If you really want to hear the truth, here's an uncomfortable one. The moment you said Brock Lesnar needed my help, you, CM Punk, picked a fight. You didn't pick a fight with me. You picked a fight with Brock Lesnar. And you know it's a fact that this was bound to happen, because the professional jealousy between the two of you has run deep both ways for a long, long time. I'll ask you this. All these things you said about me are true, and I don't deny them. I never denied them in my life. I am who I am. I am what I am. I accept myself for all my flaws, but I'm not stupid. I mean, you really think I'm stupid? I am going to walk down that aisle with you one day. No time soon. I get it.
You need your space, and I respect that as your best friend. But I'm going to walk down that aisle with you one day when you're challenging for the WWE Championship. I am going to walk down that aisle with you one day when you, sir, are where you rightfully belong in the main event at WrestleMania. That's my dream. Because as unpopular as it is, as uncomfortable as it is for the whole world to hear, CM Punk, I love you. You're my best friend in the world, and I'm gonna screw up my dreams because I got mad that I can't be ringside during your matches because you need a little space, because you need a little time to yourself. I'm gonna screw all of that up. I will never represent anyone against you, and that includes Brock Lesnar. And Brock Lesnar is going to have a problem with that, and that's between me and Brock. That's not your problem. In 2005 and 2006, everybody pointed their finger at me and said, Paul, get rid of him. And I didn't do it. And now in 2013, everybody here tonight is telling you and pointing their finger at you, and they're telling you to get rid of me. So my fate is in your hands. And with all due respect, to be honest with you, it's your move, Punk.
He said he loved Punk. Come on.
I'm sorry I doubted you.
That was a segment of... that was a segment. Holy cow.
That was two master craftsmen of their... of their field making magic happen in the middle of a ring. Seriously. Like, you're just sitting there, and it's... you know, only Paul Heyman could look at CM Punk and say, I love you, and get away with it.
Mm-hmm. On my children. If that isn't Heel 101, I don't know what it is, but holy hell, great segment. Segment of the night. Moment of the night. Tremendous.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was so well done. Bravo to both of them. Couldn't ask for anything more. And the ever-trusting Punk saying, I'm sorry, I doubted you.
He trusts his best friend, after all. Great segment. Then we have the primetime music, players' music hit. CM Punk scurried to the back because he needed to redo his entrance, apparently.
Apparently,
he had to walk out for the match. Couldn't just stay in the ring. Needed to do a full entrance. CM Punk, Darren Young. This match went way longer than I thought it would. They actually made it sort of sound like, sort of believe that Darren Young actually had a chance.
For 5 seconds, but yeah, you actually thought he had a chance.
For 5 seconds, and that's, you know, it's all that matters in wrestling. 5 seconds, plenty of time to have a chance. CM Punk wins with the and the kind of vice. It was a quick tap out. Titus O'Neil came into the ring. It was a 2-on-1 attack on CM Punk by the primetime players. And then all of a sudden you hear Curtis Axel's theme. He runs out, makes the save for CM Punk and helps him fight off the primetime players. Paul Heyman's in the ring. You know, just he wanted to help. Punk didn't seem happy with this help.
He didn't.
So, we'll get more into that in a bit. We go backstage. Vicky Guerrero is in her office. talking about where's Brad Maddox, and Stephanie McMahon shows up saying, you haven't announced who the participants in the Money Bank match are yet. She's just been too busy, so Steph will make it next. So that's where we have Stephanie McMahon on the stage as we came back from break after the Bellas handed out magazines. She announced that it's time.
Is it... Wait. Is it wrong that they were showing the three-page centerfolds and it was them and I kind of laughed?
No, it's not wrong.
Okay. Just pointing that out. Sorry, continue.
Stephanie McMahon introduced, saying it's the time of the year that WWE superstars battle to win the briefcase at Money in the Bank. The participants include CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Sheamus, Randy Orton, Christian, Kane, and Rob Van Dam.
Well, I guess we know who's winning.
I don't know about that one. Who you think right now? Who's your pick right now?
RVD. RVD or Brian, one of the two.
I would say it's one of those two, but yeah. She did the whole thumb point. And it's surprising that they put Van Damme in, so it's seven people. Seven people in the match. Interesting numbers, but hey. It works. Rob Van Dam's back. We talked about All Wrestle Talk Radio last night. What he would do, and well, here we go. He's going to be in the Money in the Bank ladder match.
To which Omega goes,
RVD. Brad Maddox and Brad Maddox and Vicky were talking about the announcement. Ryback barged in, demands another shot at John Cena, claiming to be done in. By flimsy ambulance covers why he lost, because he actually pinned John Cena. Well, you were then put through a table, but that's beside the point. Ryback told Vicky to cancel Cena vs. Henry. Then Chris Jericho walked in and noted he should be in the Money in the Bank ladder match. Ryback growled and he interrupted him. He said he could eat him alive. Jericho said he would like to see that he just interrupted and he could eat him alive. Jericho said he would like to see Ryback try Mr. Back. Brad tried to add his two thoughts, but really couldn't matter. Then backed away. Vicky then tried to barge in. She said, excuse me. And Vicky said in her boss tone that they will have a match at Money in the Bank. It'll be Chris Jericho versus the Ryback one-on-one at Money in the Bank. Guess that makes sense.
To which we all go, oh.
Well, if anyone can get a match at Ryback.
If anybody can get a match out of Ryback, it's either Daniel Bryan or it's Chris Jericho. I agree, but it's just like, oh, why? Can't we just have, one pay-per-view without him, please?
It's, I think, all the superstars rejoice, though.
Because he's not in it?
Because he doesn't have a ladder. He can't use a ladder.
Ha!
They're all like, thank God he can't kill us with a ladder.
No offense! No, bad idea. Don't put him in the ring with a ladder. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't do it. No, don't. Just don't. So, we come back from break, and we're backstage with CM Punk, and a little bit more of Paul Heyman. As we wait for it to load. Here we go.
Okay, I get it. Okay. I need your help. How can it be any more crystal clear? What don't you understand? No. Listen. Can we talk about this later? I mean, seriously. If two dudes jump me on the street, is that business if you get involved? You're going to fight both primetime players? They jumped you. I'm sorry. I'm a bit emotional about my best friend. And I can't do it myself. So Curtis Axel come down and help you.
Don't get cute with me, okay? I don't need Curtis Axel to help me fight anybody.
Oh, I understand. No, stubborn does run deep. It's also why you are still the best in the world. But I fixed this. Okay? I fixed it. I took the liberty of going into Vicky Guerrero's office. And I got this whole thing straight. So next week, right here on Raw, it's going to be the primetime players against Curtis Axel and CM Punk.
You're unbelievable. You know that? You were unbelievable. and I'm going to do it because it's a fight, and it's my fight. And I'm going to prove to you and the world and Curtis Axel that I don't need anybody's help. I'm going to do this on my own. And then I'm coming for Brock Lesnar. You can go tell him that. And then I'm going to win Money in the Bank ladder match. And then I'm going to become WWE champion again. That's my focus. That's my one goal. Nothing else matters to me.
Another interesting segment between the two best friends.
There should be a little asterisk next to that nothing else matters to me, because the Blackhawks winning the cup matters. Just pointing that out.
And it was clear CM Punk was watching the game via his laptop.
Uh-huh.
Picture proof on Twitter. And he apparently made the gentleman's bet for a buck with John Cena.
And Cena lost.
Mm-hmm. Great picture between the
Cena
two.
Cena had a job to... Yeah. Cena had a job to Punk. Fantastic. The internet was like, squee!
It was a nice photo based off the movie Trading Places. Well done.
Yes, very well done.
Mark Henry comes to the ring, talks about how Tarantino, Spielberg, and Tyler Perry have been reaching out to him to, you know, star in movies. Because Tyler Perry is the one you really want people to reach out. And, well, it would work for Mark Henry because he is black. Henry said he has people
racist.
Reach out to him. I know. Reach out to him upset because he used his friends, family, and other WWE superstars. He said he's not going to apologize to any of them. He said people have been telling him his whole life how he should live. Mark Henry, you're a big kid. Don't hurt the little children. Please, Mark. You work hard, and you go to the Olympics, and win it for America, please. Henry said that's what's going to happen to Money Bank, is no good, dirty, filthy cheating. And Mark Henry said he's going to show up, and he's basically going to, well, beat up John Cena. He said, honey, I'm coming home. And Henry then went for an aside that he knows he's looking good because this ain't no men's warehouse suit. Because there's a little dig. I don't know, the what's chant kind of threw off his promo a little bit. Which is weird. But at the end of the day, he said he's coming home at night as WWE champion. And that's all that matters.
I think it threw it off a little bit, but he also was playing to the crowd a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was nice. This was a really great promo for him.
It was. It was again, a nice little follow-up. Then we move into our main event. Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, and what the people voted, Street Fight. And this was a fight.
This was a fantastic match. Absolutely great.
Bryan went for a suicide dive. Orton blocked him with a chair. Talk about hitting a brick wall. Came back for break. More action. And then the combination Singapore Cane and kicks by Daniel Bryan. Tremendous. Ooh.
Oh my god, that looked just absolutely vicious.
Vicious shots. At one point, Orton then tried to suplex Daniel Bryan into a table. Randy Orton, you are not the human suplex machine, because he came up short.
Just a little bit.
There was also a nice spot where Daniel Bryan kept trying to knock Orton off the apron. Orton kept hanging on, so Daniel Bryan slid out and then powerbombed Randy Orton through the table, so that was a nice spot there. These two men just brawled back and forth, using the cane a lot. It was tremendous. But in the end, Daniel Bryan made Randy Orton tap out with the no lock, or is it the yes lock? I'm not sure at this point, because he was wearing the yes t-shirt tonight, not the no t-shirt.
Maybe.
With the maybe lock. With the use of the Singapore cane in the combination of the no lock. Awesome match. Awesome finish. Daniel Bryan with the big win over Randy Orton. They shook hands after the match as well, as the crowd was chanting yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, this was great, absolutely wonderful, tremendously done. If anybody can get a good match out of Randy Orton, it's Daniel Bryan.
And this was a hell of a match.
It really was. This was a great way to close the show, and you have Daniel Bryan getting his big win over Randy Orton. He proves he's not the weak link. He's so excited. It's like, yes, finally, Bryan gets his win. Finally.
Mm-hmm. I was expecting, after the handshake, Randy Orton to RKO him, but and then finally give us that heel turn we've been all been waiting for, but it was not to be tonight.
Not tonight. Maybe in the future, but not tonight.
Tonight was all about establishing Daniel Bryan, and, you know, Cole asked the question, is he finally no longer the weak link?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
So, overall, not as good as last week, but they got a lot of things accomplished.
It did. It really did.
As we have, basically, we got 4 matches announced tonight for Money in the Bank with 3 weeks to go. And probably 2 more. We probably got the setup for Money, the tag title match, the Divas title match, and the only thing left probably is the SmackDown World title Money in the Bank.
Which, if the Raw one is this stacked,
I don't
who the
know
crap is going in the SmackDown one?
Can't be the Shield now.
Can't be Ziggler.
Can't be Ziggler.
Orton and Bryan are probably going to end up going at the pay-per-view.
No, they're in the Money in the Bank.
Oh, that's right. They are in the Money in the Bank. Oh, shit. Well, maybe they're not going to have a Money in the Bank for the...
You got to.
World Heavyweight title? I don't know. Like, who the crap do you put in this match? Because everyone's in the Raw one.
I guess you get a Rhodes, a Sandow, I'm trying to think of SmackDown people. Maybe you make the return of Big Show, put him in there.
I guess.
Zack Ryder, the man's entertainment goes, Zack Ryder? Well, at this point,
You never know, dude. You never know.
That's, it can't be only one. It's when they said it's for the WWE Championship. They gotta do one for the World Heavyweight title. It's gotta be 2, because the commercial even points out 2. I don't even know. Couldn't even begin to tell you. Maybe Dean Ambrose gets in it, because he's not in the tag match. So you can put Dean in there. You can put Big E in there.
I can see Big E. I can see Ziggler. And that would actually be a really good way to do the heel turn, or do the turn of AJ and Big E.
No, Ziggler's in the world title match.
Oh yeah, shit, that's right.
I said Dean.
Fuck. Well, no, I know Dean, but it's... I'm trying to think of how they're going to do the turn on Ziggler too, so never mind. Forget I said anything.
Okay. You could put Antonio Cesaro in there. Well, they can fill it. There's plenty of people. You can put The Miz. There you go. You got people. As I go through WWE.com, and that's how I got the name for you. So, there you go. You can put Fandango in there. Wade Barrett. There's plenty. We'll probably end up with a new world champion. Basically. Anyway, that's the Raw Post Show. That's 3 hours of Raw. It's condensed about an hour for you guys. Tomorrow night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. He'll be talking to Kevin Kleinrock and Conan, I believe, on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio to Wednesday night, GP Radio, 8:30 p.m. Eastern with Scott Perry and Matthew Forsina. Lindsay, Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern, it's Lorac.
That's right. No big interview this week, but if you missed it last week, go tune in and listen to our interview with the one and only, the bearded one, Eric Young, as he talks all about his great season 2 of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, TNA Wrestling, and a whole bunch of other stuff. This week, we've got news, we've got notes, we've got discussions. We really don't have anything right now, but we will prep the show Wednesday, so tune in. Listen, because it's going to be exciting. It's going to be awesome. And, yeah. I got nothing.
RockRadioShow.com. Saturday night, midnight-ish, CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, and Subway Weird, Wacky Unusual. We play cards before, so probably check out us around 10 p.m. Eastern for that. Sunday night, WTR, Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Omega, and Mace, covering the week in pro wrestling. We'll be back for another edition of the Raw Post Show live right here at 11:30 p.m. Eastern on the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Check out the brand new fancy website, WildTalkRadio.com. It's all spiffy. And all that fun stuff. Lindsay.
So, yes, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWird. You can go to my website, segwarddesigns.com. Check that out. Go to CassidyRally.net. And, of course, check out my DeviantArt, LinsWard.DeviantArt.com. I have just uploaded the full cover for the WWE 2K14 cover contest, which is not going to win because the Shield weren't applicable. But I'm going to enter it anyway because I can. And that's what I've been working on kind of all during Raw and Show, was the full cover with all the branding and logos and everything like that. And it's on my Twitter, too. So, go check it out.
So, for Lindsay Ward, I'm Sir Rock, and we'll see you next Monday for the Raw Post Show. We'll see you Thursday night for the Rack. And all that fun stuff along the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by PW Mania at MemLanePromo.com. Good night.